I mean, first of all, it's a schuss to have so many of the chevra that Baruch Hashem are back to be with Mishpacha for Yantav. Unfortunately, back from Eretz Yisrael. Always hoping when I leave Eretz Yisrael, the next time I'll see the chevra that's learning Eretz Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael. We haven't been zayecha to Gula yet. Hopefully, b'mehera b'yameinu. But it's really a big schus and a lot of nachas and a lot of chizik for those of us that are not zayecha to be in Eretz Yisrael right now. You bring the avir, the ara to us. Namir Hashem, it should be the last trip that you have to be back in Chutz Laaretz, and we should all be together, b'mehera b'yameinu, back in Eretz Yisrael. Kar of Mamish. Every single one of us sitting here very, very excited for the Heilig Yontav of Baalein L'Toyva, the Yontav of Pesach, Chag Amuna, Lel Seder. And there's so much hachana, there's so much preparation that goes into Pesach, certainly way more than any other Yontav. As far as just physically cleaning our homes, there are those who mamish start already Purim time. I mean, there's what to clean after Purim, so they start cleaning and you might as well clean for Pesach. Or... And then kashering, and then cooking, preparing. But it's so important that we don't just prepare physically, but we prepare spiritually, beruchnius. So that when we enter into this yontiv, we don't just go through the motions and mekayim the mitzvahs, but mamish is a yontiv that we connect to, and we're mekusher to, and can hopefully come out of yontiv a completely different person. That's the avoida. The avoida is being like a gersh in a skyer again. I saw an amazing Torah, I shared it with another of the chevra. You know, everybody asked the question, Lel Seder by Magid, by Sipur Yitzis Yisrayim, one of the two mitzvahs that are deraisa, the two mitzvahs that are min haTorah, Achilas Matzah and Sipur Yitzis Yisrayim. So it's very strange that we don't have a bracha before Magid. We don't have a bracha before Sipur Yitzis Yisrayim. Everybody knows this question. And there are various answers. Some explain because there's no shir, there's no exact measurement of how much you have to talk about and what you have to say. Similar to the to Chesed. There's no bracha when you do an act of chesed, even though that's your mekayim and deraisa. Of yahavta lecha kamocha. One of the famous answers is there's no bracha, because the bracha at the end of Asher Galano, the bracha that we make when we have the second kais, that's the bracha of Magid. Chassam Sofer asks, obvious question. We all know that brachos are over las yasin. We know that brachos, we have to make a bracha before we're mekayim the mitzvah. We know that by all mitzvahs, you make the bracha, then you blow the shofar. You make the bracha, then you light the menorah. You make the bracha, then you shake your lulav. That's why we have to keep pick up the esrog backwards, because if, otherwise, you make kind of the mitzvah before you make the bracha. So here, you're going to make... How could you give such a teretz? The bracha is after the mitzvah. Listen to Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer says that when it comes Pesach, we're mamish kiger, we were a kigerish in this guy, or we're like a convert. We're becoming the Jewish nation for the first time. Where do we find an individual who makes a bracha after the maisa? So by a convert, what's the final stage of the geirus? You have to go to the mikveh. So generally, if you go to the mikveh, when a woman goes to the mikveh, she makes a bracha before she's tovel in the mikveh. Upper what? When it comes to a convert, you can't make the bracha prior. You're not Jewish yet. You're a guy. You can't make the bracha. What good is the bracha? You're not Jew. You can't make the bracha, so you make the bracha after you finish the tefillah, after you finish dipping in the mikveh. So too comes the Yidden by Mitzrayim, their Gersh and Eskayer, until they became a Yid, they make the bracha afterwards. We, Chayiv Adam, Liras, Af, Makiliyat, Mitzrayim, we're reliving. The Yitzias Mitzrayim, we make a bracha only after we go through Yitzias Mitzrayim. Only after Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, which tells us, by the way, also Lel Seder is like a mikveh. It's like one big mikveh. One big mikveh, we could walk out a totally different person. I'm a Gersh and Eskayer, I'm a new individual, I'm a new person. But the emphasis is it's hard to understand that, it's hard to connect. Do we really feel that we're going through Golus and Gulas with Rayim Lal Seder? Let's be real. We sit here, Ichvesnish, here. Those of us that are here, at least, okay, we're in the five towns, and it is what it is. And then, what about those that are in Arizona? You know someone going to Arizona? What about those who are in Arizona? Or those who are in Miami Beach? Or those Ichvesnish in Italy? Or in, I don't know, the programs all over the world, living on the highest levels of luxury. Mom, you can't even find higher levels of luxury. Which is beautiful. Okay, cheres. Right, cheres. That's why the stomach, we have to down kaschus. The yidin are looking for cheres. No, but emes. So you could feel, me'abdus l'cheres, ma'asal l'gnai b'sayv shach. Where's the gnai? Mom's royalty. How do you feel? We could really live through Chayav Adam Liros Atma Kilim Mitzrayim. We can really live through what it is. We're living it up, each and every one of us. In the door that we live, in the generation that we live, in the gashmias, the materialism that we have. So we have to understand what Lel Seder, what Pesach could mean to each and every one of us for real. What could it be for each and every one of us? Chayav Adam Liros Atma Kilim Mitzrayim. You see, the entire Galus of Mitzrayim itself is hard to understand, what it was all about. And many explain what Galus of Mitzrayim, because whenever we go into Galus, it's based on, we think we did, okay, we deserve Galus. Sinas Chinam, okay, a little harder to swallow, but we've come to that understanding. It's been 2,000 years we've been told Sinas Chinam, must be pretty bad. But Lemaisa, what did we do wrong that we deserve Galus of Mitzrayim? 210 years, it ended up being a back-breaking Avodas Parach. So on one level, Mefarshim explained, we had to learn what it is to be an Eved. Learn what it is to serve and be subservient so we can be subservient to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But it had to be such backbreaking labor. It had to be such a difficult avodah. What was that all about? Why was it? What was it necessary? But before we get to that, I want to speak about something else. Oh, such a story. First, all of Mitzrayim, Galus Mitzrayim, Gulus Mitzrayim, is all in Sefer Shemos. Right? Shmos ve'erabo b'shalach, basically. The name of something is its essence. The name captures and encompasses all that something is about. So the name of a sefer is going to encompass what it's about. Why is Sefer Shmos called Sefer Shmos? So I know you're thinking because it's the second word in Shmos, but that has to be something much deeper than that. It has to be that the word Shmos somehow, within that one word, is all of Galus and Gulus Mitzrayim. All of the exile, all of the redemption, and all that we're trying to accomplish on Pesach can be found in that one word. Because that's the name. If we deeply understood our names, if we really understood them, we'd understand the essence of who each and every one of us is. We'd understand our character traits. We'd understand our milos and our chasronos. If we really understood it in its depth. Let me give you Mamish a story of a name to understand the beauty and the importance of names. This past Sunday, this chus to be by Lel Chaim, we were talking about it before, of Tamara Weinberg and Harry Pearl. Wonderful couple, Baruch Hashem, Simcha and Bracha, Bizaycha, Bilda by Tam Yisrael, Mali Simcha, Mali Bracha. So I met Lel Chaim, and a young woman comes over to me at this Lel Chaim. And she comes over, she says, Rabbi Cohen, how you doing? She was a young woman that was in my, when I used to teach, years ago, I used to teach in SKA, some Achshava classes. And she was in one of those classes many years ago. And she comes over to me and she says, I have to tell you a story. It's not a girl I'm in contact with anymore. So I haven't seen her in a long time, many years. And she says to me, I have to share with you this. You know, she says to me, when she was in class years ago, one day in class, I was doing a little bit of a shtick. Some of the chevra might remember this, might know this. I did this maybe with some of you. So I was going around the class, and the girls were giving me their Hebrew names. And I was coming up on the spot with a gematria, and some gematria of their name. I was doing this the other day in one of my DRS classes. Mamish, one of the boys, I can tell you his name, some of you know who he is, Amiel. So on this, I'm giving this whole chizik. It was Mamish giving this boy Amiel, maybe Yavin who he is, but a whole chizik of how important it is, that he goes to the mikvah. I was telling him the whole chizik that he has to go to the mikvah. I gave him my mikvah card, my keys, I don't know, he didn't want to go. And then right after giving him all this chizik, it just hit me on the spot. that Amiel is pump exactly gematria mikvah. Exactly. Mamish exact. It was a, can't make it up. It's emes. So he tainus, he doesn't have to go to the mikvah. He's what he is a mikvah already. I don't know. We'll see. After Pesach, he may need a mikvah. But we'll see. I don't just mean him. We're all the... Whatever.
I'll send this one out.
Yeah, we'll see. Anyway, so just go back to this girl. Back to the girl. We're going back to the girl. So she comes and she tells me that I was doing that with the girls in the class. And then when I came up to her name, right away I told her that the gematria of her name is Bach Simcha. In you is Simcha. In you is happiness. She's telling me how, obviously that gave her chizuk and something special. So she says, but you just recently, at some point, I think it was recently, I don't remember what she said, recently or a little bit ago, whenever it was, she said she was telling over the story to her father about how I did this, and that the gematria of her name is Bach Simcha, new Simcha. So the father, Mamish, looks at her like wide-eyed and says to her, I need to tell you something. I don't know if you realize, but you were born on the exact 1 year anniversary of the first Yortzeit of my father's patira, when my father passed away. His father tells her, you were born. Your grandfather, that's all. And your grandfather's name was Simcha. Bach Simcha, and you Simcha. Can't make this up. As in all of our names, Mamish is the essence of who we are. In a very deep, special way. So getting back to what we're discussing, what pshat? Shemos, save for Shemos. What pshat, say for Shemos, is called Shemos. How is it, within that name, where do we see what Golos and Gulos Mitzrayim represents, what Pesach represents, what Tzipras Mitzrayim represents? You know, Sefer Bereishis is called Bereishis, but it's also called Sefer Avos. Because everything's about the Avos. Everything's about Avon Yisrael and Yaakov. And in fact, in Sefer Bereishis, even the Shvatim, the Shiftei Kah, are completely mevatel to the Avos. It's all about Avraham and Yaakov. It's not about the Shvatim, even though the Shvatim play roles. The Maharal even says, that's why Yaakov, at 12 Shvatim, 12 plus Yaakov is 1, is 13, is Gematria Achad. That's what the Maharal says. Meaning, they're all mevatel to Yaakov. They're all part and parcel of Yaakov. However, at the end of Bereishis, at the end of Sefer Bereishis, it says we're transitioning into Sefer Shemos. What do we find? We find Yaakov Avinu, right before he passes away, right before the end of Sefer HaAvos, he takes all the Shvatim, and he gives all the Shvatim brachos. But he doesn't give them brachos. What he really does is just point out each and every one of their individualized character traits. And read it, we all know it in Parshat Vayechi, and he goes through Ruvein, Shimon, Levi, he goes through each and every one and tells them what their midos are, what their character traits are, what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are. Who they are individually. You see, because until this point in time, they weren't individuals, they completely mevatel to the parents. But the transition into Sefer Shemos is a new beginning where each and every one of the Shvatim is going to be an individual, is going to have a self-worth and a self-value. And you're going to be a Kohen, and you're going to be the Melech, and you're going to be steeped in Torah, and you're going to be steeped in business. You see, because what Yaakov is really getting his children ready for is for Golos. Because the beginning of Shemos is going to start Golos Mitzrayim. What is Golos? Golos is a time when we're dispersed, when we're spread out. And if we can't stand on our own 2 feet, and we can't have our own self-value, and be strong as an individual, we're going to be destroyed. Golos is Am Mefuzer Mefurim Ben Ha'amim, as we say in the Megillah. Golos is we're completely spread out, so we have to have a strength as an individual. And this is what each and every one of the Shvatim had to understand going into Golos Mitzrayim. It's interesting. The beginning of Shemos, Rashi points out, right away, the first pasuk in Shemos. Eilu Shemos b'nei Yisrael, Abay Mitzrayim. So Rashi points out, that nimshalu l'kochavim, we're compared to the kochavim, shemotziyin u'machnisim, that are let out and brought back in, b'mispar u'bishmosam. B'mispar u'bishmosam, by their names and by their number. The kochavim are called by their names. The kochavim, the stars are called by names, and the stars only burn bright at night. Night is a representation of galus. In galus, every individual has to have a name. Every individual has to have a name, because what a name does, a name, as we're discussing, represents our essence. But what a name really does is gives us our individuality. Chaim is not Yehuda, Yehuda is not Shmuel, and Shmuel is not Yaakov. We're all individuals. That's why, as well, as we went down to Mitzrayim, it was Shivim Nafesh. Shivim Nafesh, which is from the number 7, and the Pasuk in Parashas Kisavo explains, in Perachav Ches, Pasuk Zayin, B'derech Echad Yotu Lecho, B'Shiva Drachim Yanusu Lefanecha. 7 represents being dispersed. That we're going to be dispersed, but if we're going to be dispersed, we have to have an individuality. We have to have a strength. Alone. Which is telling us, Chevra, each and every one of us, that there's a purpose why Hashem sends us into Galus. You know, we started out discussing what Galus of Mitzrayim is all about. Galus of Mitzrayim was necessary because in order to have strength even in our achdus, which we'll get to, but in strength as an individual, strength as B'nai Yisrael, each and every member of B'nai Yisrael has to be strong. Each and every one of us has to be able to stand on our own 2 feet. Each and every one of us has to understand our abilities and understand our disabilities and understand what our chesronos are, what our ma'alos are, and be matzliach as an individual. And not because I'm a vatel to somebody else, not because it's easy, because I'm in the shadows of my father. Because I'm in the shadows of an Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. You know, so many of the chever in this room just recently came back from learning in Eretz Yisrael. And let's be honest, all of us in this room, everybody in this room, has had this chus in their lives, whether it's recent or a little bit ago, to learn in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And one of the biggest issues and one of the biggest problems is that when you're learning in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, it's so conducive and so easy, and you have the strength of your yeshiva, and you have the strength of your rebbeim by your side 24/7. And the question is, which you don't know necessarily yet, are you an individual yet? Can you stand on your own 2 feet? When you're going to come back now, Bein Hazmanim, and it's going to be Pesach, and are you going to be learning seriously every day on your own? Are you going to be tempted by the taivas that you're going to be around because of chmesnish, your family is going to the beach? You haven't done it all year yet, but you've been mevatel to the yeshiva, been mevatel to your abeim. Am I an individual? Or is it all about everybody else surrounding me? And I'm just living their dreams. And I'm living what they want for me. And living what they think is best. So sometimes that's very nice, but ultimately it's not going to last if I'm not strong as an individual. And Galus, therefore, the Rebbeinu Tam is giving us his Galus to strengthen that. And therefore, Ve'ela Shemos, the word Shemos, names, does encompass what the essence of Galus is all about. Because the essence of Galus is to find our name. And be an individual. And not worry about everything else surrounding us, but worry about ourselves. How often I'm dealing with shiduchim every day? No gramen now, okay? No gramen. Maybe you have. Watch yourself. And I deal with shiduchim, and often when I'm dealing with shiduchim, parents will call me. Parents will call me looking into a young man. Parents will call me to discuss a matzav to individuals dating. And often I'll deal with parents, and the parent will tell me, my daughter, my son, you know, they want, that. My daughter wants, she wants someone who's going to learn, but a real professional, and someone who's going to be, you know, a doctor or a lawyer. And I know this girl very well. And I sat with her the week before, and she's telling me she wants to live in Ramat Eshkol and wants a husband that's sitting and learning in the mirror for 10 years. But my daughter, she wants a professional. Your daughter doesn't want a professional. You want a professional. But you're giving over your desires and putting that upon your daughter. I didn't mean that it will toy v'lora. I just meant to give an example. Okay, I'm having the oven with the Torah, but the MS is, so often that parents try to just basically give over their desires, that's what your children at that point, if he's ready to date, she's ready to date, she has to be able to be standing, or he has to be standing on his 2 feet and making decisions on his own and decide who he is, who she is. Have a name. Find one's name. Have we found our name? That's the purpose of Gaulus, but that's what ultimately Geula is. The Gaulus is to bring Geula. The Gaulus is to go through it, and the ultimate Geula is to be oneself, and to have that strength, and to know who I am, and to live life for me, not for others. There's a poem, I've read this before, probably at this table. It's this book. One of the books I live my life by, whoever that knows, has heard this quoted from me before. It's a book called Season of Life. It's not a Jewish book, it's an amazing book. This author, Jeffrey Marks, he spends a year with a high school football team. And the coaches of that team, one of them is an ex-Baltimore Colt, the linesman, and he ends up being some sort of priest or whatever it might be, but he teaches the team way more about life than about football. This book encompasses, it gets half the world right, meaning all Ben, you don't expect it to get Ben Adam Malcolm, you know, it didn't go there, this guy never learned Torah, so how's he supposed to know? But he gets the Ben Adam Lechavero part in an amazing way. It's well worth reading, incredible book. And in the beginning he has a poem, I think it's a little bit of a famous poem, not that I would know if it's famous or not, but it was hanging apparently by the locker room of the Baltimore Colts. This is what the poem says. It's called That Guy in the Glass. When you get what you want and you struggle for self, and the world makes you king for a day, then go to the mirror and look at yourself and see what that guy has to say. For it isn't your mother, brother, or friends whose judgment you must pass. The person whose verdict counts most in your life is the one staring back in the glass. You could go down the pathway of years receiving pats on the back as you pass, but your final reward will be heartaches and tears if you cheated that guy in the glass. To be MS, to be an individual, to have a name, to live up to your name, to understand who you are. Now this isn't to say for a moment that individuality is void of achdus. It actually creates the greatest of achdus. You know, Yaakov Avinu, when he tells all of the shvatim, he gives over to all the shvatim their brachos and tells them individually who all of you are. He starts off Hayasu v'agidalechem, gather together. He kovsu. He first gathers them together as one. Because ultimately, when you understand your self-worth and who you are, you can understand someone else's self-worth as well and build true achdus, not a full sense of achdus. The deepest respect and the deepest unity. It's interesting, the shivim nafesh that went on the Torah wasn't seven, it was 7D. You take seven, we said, is a number that represents being dispersed. But when you take it tenfold, by definition, ten means there's a certain achdus to it. There's a certain synthesis of individuality and achdus at the same time, which is being learned here. Rav Leibel Eger in Tarsames, he says an amazing yesod. He said, he brings down and he shows that actually, when Yaakov, you know, gave all these brachos, and gave all the brachos to each of the shvatim, he gave the brachos to each of the shvatim in front of all the other shvatim. Wasn't like he had, it wasn't, you know, you picture and you'd understand, seemingly, was I think the way we always pictured it, so he gathered to all gather everybody, and he said to them, oh, we're going to give brachas now. So everyone probably left the room, and then there was yechidus with the Rebbe one at a time, right? It's not how it went. I mean, just read the psukim. It says, he'asu v'agidolcham, he'kavsu, v'shimu b'nei Yaakov, v'shimu Yisrael, and then he starts. He gathered together, and then he goes one at a time. Imagine they're all in the room at the same time. He says, Reuven, this is you. Shimon, this is you. Said, why is that necessary? He wanted that the individuality should create achdus, that every brother should understand the koichos of each other as well. To understand through true shleimus means, I want to understand myself, my strength and my weaknesses. But I understand that you have strength also, and I need you and you need me. We complement each other in a beautiful way, to create true achdus. That's what all of Klal Yisrael is about. You know, we stood at our Sinai. We stood, this is Chaim Friedlander. There's a beautiful piece on this. How when we were at our Sinai, we all say Nasa V'Nishma. Can I say Nasa V'Nishma? No individual could say Nasa V'Nishma. Because there's 630 mitzvahs. And there are mitzvahs that are only shaykh to Kohanim, and mitzvahs that are only shaykh to Levim, and mitzvahs that are only shaykh to Melech, and mitzvahs that are only for women, and mitzvahs that are only for men. There's no one individual could say Nasa V'Nishma, we'll call it our kula. But as a tzibor together, I can understand, I have my milos, you have your milos, let's go together, Nasa V'Nishma is one. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zal Zeh. So ultimately, individuality actually builds the achdus. By the way, the Karban Pesach represents that as well. The Karban Pesach was both at the same time a Karban Yachid and a Karban Tzibor. How do you know? It was a Karban Tzibor, it's Doicha Shabbos. Only a Karban Tzibor is Doicha Shabbos, not a Karban Yachid. But an individual had to buy it with his money. It was a Karban Yachid. So we see it was both a Karban Yachid and Karban Tzibor, because it's one and the same. The whole entire emphasis of the Gullus is to build an individuality within the Achdus of Klal Yisrael. But not be carried away by Mevatu yourself to that. So that's the point of Gullus. The problem is, when we're in Gullus, we have forces against us. We have the Umos HaOlam that are against us, that understand what the point is, and want to disturb that, want to hold us away from that. Want us not to become that individual that we're supposed to become, not to live up to our name. So what do? They bring avdus. They bring slavery. Because what is slavery? The opposite of this yisod. They want us to be mevatel, completely subservient to them. Become them, not become yourself. Who's the Eved of the Torah? Eliezer Eved Avram. Eliezer Eved Avram was the quintessential servant, the quintessential Eved. But he mamish, the Medrash says, it's Medrash Rabbah in Nun Tes Ches. It tells us that his ponim, his face, mamish looked exactly like Avram. He formed into an appearance like Avram. He became Avram in a sense. Because he was an Eved, he was Mevatel Avram. So he didn't live for himself, he lived for Avram. There's no longer any self-worth. There's no longer individuality. The Mitzrim tried to accomplish this as well. The Mitzrim want to tell us, don't be an individual. Don't live up to your koach. Don't be who you're supposed to be. Be what other people want you to be. Be who I want you to be. That's why, what did the Mitzrim do? The Medrash says, read you a Medrash. The Medrash says, when Moshe Rabbeinu saw the burdens of Klal Yisrael, Rabbi Elazar ben Osher b'Yosef Leomer, Roy, what did he see? Listen to what he saw. Masle gadol akaton. He saw that the work, the hardships for a gadol, the mitzvah put on a katon. What should have been done by an older individual, the mitzvah made a child do. Umasa katon, what a child should be doing, al gadol, he made an older individual do. Umasa ish al isha, what man should be doing, they gave to a woman to do. Al isha, umasa isha al ish, what a woman should be doing, they gave to a man. Masa zakin al bachar, masa bachar al zakin. Mamish, what the mitzvah did was they took all of the individuality of the person, said, don't be who you're supposed to be somebody else. Live up to what I want you to be, not who you're supposed to be. When we're able to fight through that and still be the individual, that's when we ultimately achieve and accomplish what Gullus is all about, to ultimately be ourselves. And this is the avoid of Pesach. Chayiv
Adam lirs his atma kili Mitzrayim. We have to relive it. We're not just remembering the past. What are we reliving? We're reliving a finding of our individuality, of being ourselves, because we're living through the same golas. Do we not live through? Okay, shkoyach. So we don't live in Mitzrayim where they were putting physical labor and servitude upon us, so that I don't be who I'm supposed to be. What do? We live in America. So there's the same spiritual push. And we live in a culture and a society which tells us this should be your value system. This is what you believe in. Don't be that type of person. Be this type of person. Don't wake up so early to learn, to daven. You need your sleep. You're going to be so frum that it's got to be normal to watch the game, watch the chvesnes. You got to watch the families watching a movie together, and it's we picked out one. Don't worry, it's PG-13, and it's lamaisa. Okay, there's a little bit of nudity, but not a lot of nudity. It's not such a big deal. We checked into it. Don't worry, we'll cover your eyes. Chvesnes, and we're being pushed into a world. This is okay. This is what we should be like. And sometimes we forget who we really should be. We forget our individuality. Geula means that Geula, the redemption, comes when I lived through Golus and I became the individual I'm going to be. Golus is for that purpose. Now the forces of Golus always try to hold that back. Rav Sadok says in Mitzrayim, they made sure the Mitzrim, they're called by different names, not really. Like if you're Yaakov, they'd call you Shmuel. Just to like mess us up. Because our name, we're saying, is our essence, Shemos. So you don't have that name. Be somebody else. What did the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, do in the Holocaust? What did the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, now we understand in a very deep way. Some in this room just had the hisoiris of being in those makomos and seeing it firsthand. And what did the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, they took away our name. They said, you don't have a name. You're a number. You're just one of many. In other words, you have no purpose. You're nothing. You have no individuality. No name. Ve'elish mos b'nei Yisrael. Our avoid is to find our name. To find out who each and every one of us really is. And now you understand as well, the Medrash. The Medrash tells us a very strange Medrash. We all thrown around and given some chizik. But the Medrash in Bamidbar Rabba says, one of the reasons we're Zoycha Fanas Gula is what? Shloshinu Hashemam. That we didn't change our name. So people mostly use that to mean what? We had our Jewish names. Which also is very important for another time. And we didn't take upon the Egyptian names. L'maisa, it's definitely important. It's nice to have Jewish identity. But ultimately, is there any halachic iser of taking on? There are many, many very big tzaddikim who go by a non-Jewish name. Meaning that's the geula, that's where it comes from. Personally, I happen to connect to that. I feel it is important to have and to go by our Jewish names. But ultimately, l'maisa, that's the reason geula. Shloshinu Shemam, maybe we could suggest, doesn't mean... Shloshinu Shemam doesn't necessarily mean they didn't change their name from the Jewish name to the Egyptian name. Shloshinu Shemam means they didn't change their name, means they didn't get rid of their name. They didn't become someone that they're not. They kept their name. They found their own individuality, and that's where the Geula comes from. How many of us are living lives we don't want to be living? I want to be different. I know who I'm supposed to be. I know I want to be. But for my parents, I do something. And for certain friends, I do something. And for the world that I live in, and whatever it might be. Stop the Golas and find the Geula. Find our name. That's what the Yontav of Pesach is all about. Now we understand why the name is what it is. I want to read you a story. Everything Siyata Deshmaya. Let's share it. I was preparing this Torah, learning through this Torah. Sometimes, Baruch Hashem, right away when I'm learning a Torah, there's a certain story that I want to give over. Something hit me, like, for example, this poem. Right away it hit me, I have to share that poem. But there wasn't any story. So I was learning, I pulled behind me, was this book, the Sefer, Touched by Their Faith. And I opened up to the following story. The Rabbeinu Shalom just brings. I'm going to tell it, but I'm going to read it to you. I mamish brought tears to my eyes. And a lot in this room will connect. You'll see a lot of you just had this chus to do exactly what the story says.
Gidi Katz was one of the most respected jet fighter pilots in the Israeli army. The older pilots listened to his insights while the younger ones pointed to his stellar track record as a source of inspiration and guidance. He was well known for his sharp mind and lightning-quick instincts. Perhaps the most valuable of his attributes was the manner in which Gidi kept his emotions in check. He always maintained an even keel, knowing that his next mission, whenever it would come to pass, would require focus and balance. Of all his interests, nothing drew Gidi's attention as much as the study of the Holocaust. He was mesmerized by the stories he read. His Safta Broria, a Holocaust survivor, never spoke to him about her experiences, but he knew that she had survived the concentration camps. And it meant a lot to him that he was using his efforts and talents to defend the Jewish people. One day, Gidi's commanding officer approached him with a tempting offer. The army was offering its top soldiers a chance to travel to Europe, to see the concentration camps and tour the places where famous battles took place. Gidi jumped at the opportunity and immediately packed for the trip. Even though he was not religious, his mother gave him a small Sefer Tehillim before he left. She suggested that he keep it in his pocket in case he would want to say a prayer. Gidi obliged, although he did not view this as much more than an information-gathering trip. Stoic fellow that he was, he didn't expect to break down in tears or to feel the need to pray at any point. The tour took them to the main concentration camps in the surrounding cities. After touring some of the larger cities, they stopped off in Stutthof. Although not as well known as some of the larger camps, Stutthof was a brutal camp in which over 85,000 Jews were killed. As the soldiers walked through the eerily pretty grounds of Stutthof, Gidi took in the experience. He was horrified by abysmal living conditions and was surprised that so many Jews had lost their lives in this small camp. He had read all about Auschwitz, Treblinka, but he had never heard of Stutthof. He tried to imagine what life must have been like for the inmates, never knowing if this was his last day on earth. As he passed the barracks, a building in the distance grabbed his attention. As he approached it, Gidi was shocked to discover that Stutthof housed a gas chamber and crematorium as well. The tour guide informed them that the camp was originally built as a labor and prisoner of war camp, but eventually became part of the final solution. Its sole purpose was to expedite the murder and extermination of the Jews. As soon as Gidi stepped into the gas chamber, he felt like he was about to suffocate. He tried to imagine tens of thousands who had died in this room, but instead of the desire to cry or take revenge, the strangest and most amazing feeling overcame him. Suddenly he felt like singing and dancing. How could it be? He was always in control of emotions. That is what made him such a successful fighter pilot. And now he felt like singing? Struggling to contain his emotions, he stepped outside of the gas chamber. He reached into his pocket and pulled out the small Tehillim his mother had given him. He did not know a lot of songs. In fact, he only knew one, and it was not part of Tehillim. The only time he ever went to shul was on Simchas Torah, when they sang, Sisu v'simchu b'simchas Torah. Be joyous and glad with the gladness of the Torah. As he stood outside the gas chamber, he sang that song quietly. He tried not to call attention to himself as he moved his feet along with the tune. He could not figure out where this unusual feeling was coming from. At the same time, he couldn't stop himself from being swept upon it. While he was softly singing his song, his phone rang. Gidi picked it up. It was his mother. Ema, I said, you won't believe what just happened. I'm here in Stutthof, and I had the strangest feeling. As soon as Gidi mentioned the word Stutthof, his mother interrupted and instructed him to call his Safta. Gidi didn't ask why, he just called his grandmother. Safta, it's Gidi. Safta was thrilled to hear his grandson's voice, but was curious to why he was calling her, as not speak on a regular basis. He told his grandmother he was in Stutthof, but before he could continue, his Safta stopped him. I know all about Stutthof. I was there with my entire family. And then there was complete silence on the line. No one spoke. Finally, after a minute or so, Gidi continued. I walked around the camp and saw the barracks. Our tour guide described the horrific conditions in which you lived. But when I walked into the gas chamber, the oddest feeling overcame me. I felt like I needed to sing and dance. I know you always think this is bizarre, but I stepped outside of the gas chambers and I began dancing there, right next to the crematorium. My mother gave me a small Sefer Tehillim to carry with me, and I danced with it. Gidi stopped for a moment and listened to the sounds of quiet crying on the other end of the line. He realized how emotional it must have been for his grandmother to hear her grandson describing the concentration camp in which she had been interred. But he had no idea just how astonishing the story was. Gidi, I'm so happy you're there, and you're able to see what I lived through. As you know, many korbanos were sacrificed there. And then she shared a fascinating story. I was only 10 years old when I was taken to Stutthof. I knew that my father Gideon, for whom you are named, had a job, but I didn't know what it was. Later I found out that he was one of the Sonderkommando. As part of the Sonderkommando, he was forced to remove the dead bodies from the gas chamber and bring them to the crematorium. One night after a horrendous day of work, he stepped outside with the others in his group. When the German officer stepped away for a cigarette break, my father spoke to them. The Nazis have taken away our sense of humanity. We have been transformed into animals. But today is Simchas Torah. Even if it is difficult, let us dance and sing and remember that we are not animals. We are Yidden, children of the Almighty. And as I stood right outside of the gas chamber, next to the crematorium, my father removed one torn page of a siddur that he saved in his pocket. And they danced and they sang, Sisu v'simchu b'simchas Torah. Giddy, the one who never let his emotions get the better of him, felt tears streaming down his cheeks. Somehow the song his great-grandfather sung some 60 years before had found its way into his soul. Inspired by his heart-stopping occurrence with its obvious haskacha prachtis, Giddy decided to begin his spiritual journey and find his way back home. The Nazis, Yimach Shemom, they've taken away our sense of humanity, transformed us into animals. The Mitzrim tried to do the same. But as Yidden, we understand we have to find our individuality. We have to always be dancing. We have to always be true to who we are. That's the Geula of Mitzrayim. That's what it means to find one's name. And nothing's different, Bizman Hazeh. Chayev Adam Liras Atzmah Kiliyah to Mitzrayim. Each and every one of us is obligated to relive the Gaulis and relive the Geula. And remember that if we're in Gaulis, the purpose is one and the same. The purpose of Gaulis then is again to find our shame, to be true and emistic to who we are, each and every one of us, and not to give in to the pressures around us. And make sure that when we look in that glass, the glass is smiling back, right back at us, as we're living our life as we're supposed to be living, b'kedusha v'tahara, and we're bringing geula into the world, even b'zman hazeh, until we're zoicha to the geula shleima. Bimhera bi'amenu.
Amen, bi'amenu.